Yeah, I think we just changed education. People talk about getting back to normal. First, they talked about getting back to normal. Remember, that was like last June. When are we going to get back to normal? Then they stopped talking about getting back to normal. And actually, there was a brief time they started to say, I wonder if we can get back to normal. And then after we did that for about a month or two, then we started to say, there is no way we're going back to what we did. We're gonna have to be a new normal. And I'm doing actually a plenary coming up pretty soon. And I wanted to use the title Creating a New Normal to be more proactive. But it's what you just said, Brad. We're going to change higher education.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones, sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast. I'm Tiffany Snyder, and I'm here with my co-host, Brad Garner. Hi, Brad.
Hey, now.
This is the first time that we've ever had a faculty listener come forward and recommend guests for our show. So this is an important day for us. I don't even know if our guests knew that, but we did. We had a faculty member come forward and say, there's a book coming out. And I would love to hear from the authors on the podcast. So very exciting day. We're joined by Todd Zakrajsek and Kevin Kelly. Todd Zakrajsek is an associate research professor and associate director of fellowship programs in the Department of Family Medicine at the University of North Carolina. In addition to his work at UNC, Todd serves on several boards of many journals and organizations focused on teaching and learning. Todd has a primary role in coordinating 8 annual Lilly conferences and workshops offered around the country that focus on evidence-based practices in teaching and learning. Todd earned a Bachelor of Science degree in psychology from Lake Superior State University and a Master of Science and PhD from Ohio State University in Industrial Organizational Psychology. He has been at UNC since 2008. Kevin Kelly, EDD, teaches online courses as a lecturer in the Department of Equity, Leadership Studies, and Instructional Technologies at San Francisco State University, where he also previously served as the Online Teaching and Learning Manager. He works with colleges and universities as a consultant to address distance education, educational technology, and organizational challenges. Kevin co-authored with Todd Zakrajsek the 2021 Stylus book, Advancing Online Teaching, Creating Equity-Based Digital Learning Environments. Please join me in welcoming to the podcast, Todd and Kevin. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Hi.
Great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Before we go on, can I just make a comment about Todd?
Oh, no. And
that is that I just want to pay tribute to his courage, his willingness to put himself in difficult situations, because he is one of the very few people has ever come back on the Digital Learn podcast.
That is true.
We haven't had many return guests. So tribute to you, Todd.
Could not wait to get back. I had sleepless nights. This is so cool. That was fun. No, seriously, it was a great time last time. You guys are phenomenal at the show and looking forward to this one.
You're complimenting us, and I was just going to question that courage and say, well, you did bring a buffer today because Kevin Kelly is here, so you didn't come back alone.
We did. Came back. And I'll tell you what, came back loaded to bear because this dude knows his stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to start with our segment, Getting to Know You, and these questions are so random and unrelated, I was thinking as I was reviewing them, but that's fun. The first one is, what is your favorite pizzeria?
We love a local pizzeria called Blue Line. They have a good gluten-free crust for my wife, and we like their Mediterranean chicken, which has green olives and artichoke hearts with chicken.
Oh, my.
Nice.
For me, I think probably, it's a tough call. Basically, any place that has barbecue chicken pizza is good for me, but Bricks is probably the favorite. In Chapel Hill, it's a good place.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, during this pandemic time where we've all been kind of quarantined and talking on Zoom and doing all those things, have you learned any new skills over that period of time that you can share with the audience?
Every couple of years I try to learn a new skill so I can empathize with my students and know what they're like when they're going through my class. So in summer 2020, I took a blues finger-picking guitar class over Zoom so that I could be frustrated, not understand how to do something immediately. And it worked. But
wow.
Now I'm able to play those songs and I'm going to teach my brother next.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I guess I should have gone first.
I know.
Sorry. Hate following that. So, you know, mine was probably participating on podcasts. So, it's a new thing for me. no, actually.
Well, Todd, I don't want to tell you, but you've got a ways to go yet before you master that skill.
Todd, yeah, I appreciate that, Brad. I'll return the favor here very shortly. No, it's I don't, you know, aside from Kevin there, I didn't really start a new skill, but I did dig out my road bicycle. Which I had ridden across country about 10 years ago, and I have not been on that thing basically since. And so I got back out to riding again.
Well, that's awesome.
Did you actually ride from coast to coast?
Yeah. So, yep, cross country. It was amazing. And I'll tell you what, it took 3 months, took a long time doing it, 3 months to do it. But it was my family. It was so nice of my wife to basically watch the kids and let me call in every day. And it was really good. But I will tell you, here's a quick one for you. Start in the West Coast, you go east because you want the prevailing winds and everything. Everybody in Portland, Washington area think it's a phenomenal thing. You get around to Idaho area, they think it's kind of cool. You get in the Dakotas and they go, what? You like left your job and family for 3 months to ride a bicycle? Wow. And then it's pretty cold until you get to the Midwest or Michigan area, it starts to lighten up again. But no, it's, they have no.
How many miles a day did you do?
We did anywhere from 75 to 100, depending on if we're and stuff like that. But yeah, it was amazing. I'll tell you what, if you could see this country at about 15 miles an hour, it is amazing country, and the people you meet are phenomenal.
Wow.
That is awesome.
I know. We can make a whole podcast episode, I feel like, on the experiences of that.
I want to say this out loud. I actually admire Ty right now.
Well, hey, here's a big one, Brad. I'm dead serious about this. Coming, and this is very quick, coming out of the Big Hound Mountains, coming down alternate 14, there's an area of road that's 10% grade for 10 miles with switchbacks. So on a bicycle, you can just scream. And because you can use the full lane, you can go through the switchback pretty fast. And then when you come out of it, if you're behind a car or something, you can be right behind the car. And as they start to accelerate, you can accelerate as well. And then they have to brake for the next one. I passed a Harley Davidson going downhill. And in a straightaway, when I passed him, I went in front of him. Then I went on down. And at the bottom, I had pulled off to the side. He come up next to me and he pulled up and he looked at me. He says, "You are one crazy son of a..." And he had a B word. And I said, "Yeah," I said, "a little bit." He says, "When you passed me, I was going 60.
Wow.
And I said, "Holy." And then I said a bad word. And when I looked at the odometer and I spun back to the odometer, I had hit 65 miles an hour through that stretch. But never again.
Incredible.
Done.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That
was fun. Good times. Good times.
Our last question here is, what is a word or a phrase that you tend to overuse? And if you don't know what it is yet, then maybe this podcast, we can go through the transcript and find it for you.
The transcript will help. But since I started working with Todd, it's been, "You're right again, Todd."
Oh, so good.
Oh, that's so fabulous. Oh, that's a fabulous response. That's just fabulous. For me, I don't know, probably fabulous. I'm told by my family particularly that I use the word fabulous too much. So I just think everything is fabulous.
I would love it in my life if somebody was using the word fabulous, at least towards me more often.
Wow, Brad, that's directed to you.
Yeah, Brad.
Cheers, Brad.
Tiffany, you are average.
Mm. Oh, really? We're moving on.
No, you're fabulous. You're fabulous.
All right. As I said earlier, we had a faculty member reach out and tell us about a book that they learned of, and they just really wanted to get the authors on the podcast. And we were able to make that happen, which is awesome. So if you could tell us the story behind the book, Advancing Online Teaching, Creating Equity-Based Digital Learning Environments, we would love to hear it.
Well, Todd and I had known each other for a while. And when he invited me to collaborate on a book about online teaching for his Excellent Teacher series, I'd always been a fan, so I jumped at the opportunity. And we quickly found out that we wanted to take a similar approach to the topic. There are a number of great books out there about online teaching, but we really wanted to focus on universal design for learning, equity, human connectedness, and also the full breadth of the online teaching process instead of limiting ourselves to just course design. And it turns out we worked really well together, at least I think so. And then I'll let Todd fill in any gaps that I left.
Oh, that's good. No, and I had been a big fan of Kevin's work for quite some time. And actually he left this out, but I invited him to do a plenary address at one of the Lilly conferences. And that was kind of to see how he approach things, and he just knocked it out of the park. It was phenomenal. And so he did a great job with that. One thing I would like to say in terms of just the way things go with books and everything, I don't know if you remember this, Kevin, the book actually started out with the equity and universal design as being the basic foundation of the book. And it was about halfway through the book, we started talking. I was like, wait a minute, human connectedness just keeps oozing out of everything we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so I like to tell people we structured universal design and equity, and the human connectedness kind of found us from the book.
Wow.
He's right. You're right again, Todd.
you're fabulous, Kevin.
So I'm going to ask the next question, and I must say to our listeners, just so the two of you know, we have literally millions of listeners. I'm going to suggest that they do two things. First, buy the book and read it. Stop listening right now. Buy the book and read it, and then fast forward, because I'm going to ask Todd and Kevin to kind of give us an overview of a summary, Reader's Digest version of this book.
Well, the book, as I started describing earlier, addresses all aspects of teaching an online course, starting with strategies for designing online courses, moving to engaging students, facilitating online activities, assessing learning through online techniques, and even including chapters on evaluating your teaching and managing your workload as a teacher, which are things, especially these days with the pandemic, faculty members who are forced into what some refer to as emergency remote teaching get caught off guard by the workload involved in online courses. And sometimes students feel the pain when those instructors are not putting in the work that they need to do. Hearing students talk about having to teach themselves topics is tough to hear. So throughout the book, as I mentioned before as well, and Todd backed up, we viewed the course experience through three different lenses. I kind of see it as if we're eye doctors and we're using those lenses and saying, is the picture clearer now or is it fuzzier? And so with those three lenses of universal design for learning and learning equity and human connectedness, we can start to look at how students go through the learning process and create experiences that will support them where they are.
And I guess what I would say is, I mean, overall, it's just such a great book in terms of those three components. But the one thing is it's just monster amounts of resources. Just all the way through the book, just links to different places, different ways of doing things. I mean, all the way down to if you want to capture images and make sure, we'll talk about this later, make sure that in classes that your students can find themselves in the images that you're using. We've got galleries listed where if you want to find people of Asian descent who are working in a lab situation, you can find a photo that does that. And so there are resources all through it.
Adding to that, the concept that people should be able to read this book and not see it as a textbook or something that's nice to read and gives them some ideas, but instead they should, after reading a part of a chapter, should be able to go try it themselves in their own course. It's meant to be highly practical, immediately applicable. And that's, I'm proud of the fact that we have, as Todd mentioned, not only so many great resources, but examples of what it looks like in an online course. Some instructors are faced with that challenge again of not having taught or even studied in an online course. And so when we talk about, hey, let's make this learning experience more equitable, what does that look like? And so being able to show what instructions for an assignment look like if you're trying to address equity challenges or anything like that really helps people get off the ground and put it into practice.
What has the response been like so far since the book release?
Really positive. And actually just did my first book club with Loyola Marymount University staff and faculty. And but people have responded in a really positive way in different places, Twitter, someday in person, conferences. I just did a keynote for the Online Learning Consortium, and the people really had lots of great questions. And I know we'll talk about this later, but it's sparked some fantastic conversations as well.
What do you find faculty saying about the rather abrupt move to emergency remote teaching? Many of them probably never thought in their wildest dreams they would ever teach online. I don't want to do that, but here you go. What kind of experiences do you hear faculty talking about with that?
I think it depends on where they are. And when Todd and I talk about having empathy for our students, putting ourselves in their shoes so that we can construct equitable learning experiences, we also have to do the same when we're working with faculty. Mm-hmm. And they sometimes face some of the same challenges as students. I know lecturer faculty members who drive to a Starbucks or McDonald's parking lot so they can get reliable Wi-Fi, just like some of our students do. But in specific to your question, Brad, The range of reactions from faculty have been what you might expect. Faculty who had been teaching hybrid or online courses before, it was easy for them, or at least easier for them, to move their other face-to-face courses to some sort of online format. And they had strategies that they'd tried before, and they were comfortable with the environment and the technologies. Faculty who hadn't taught online before probably fall into two different camps. One, a group that pursued a lot of professional development in a short amount of time and relied heavily on things that were similar to the face-to-face learning experience, like a lot of Zoom meetings and less asynchronous work, but have been really interested in helping to meet students' needs. And so have been looking into what changes they can make over time to address the challenges students face. There are some instructors out there who cannot wait to get back to the classroom. And that's in part, I think, because it has been a stressful time for those faculty members to adopt a new way of teaching and also manage their own workload and their own lives when they may be taking care of their children. And, you know, if you're a lecturer, faculty member, and you have other jobs, this is an additional burden or a time commitment that you hadn't expected.
Yeah, and I just want to put on there too. I want to mention two things real seriously, and I do joke around a lot, but number one, we're getting a little serious. Administrators out there, anybody listening who's an administrator, find a way to meaningfully thank the faculty way over and above. Thank you all for doing this. Faculty just saved higher education. Mm. If the faculty had not pivoted, sometimes with one day notice, pivoted to a format that they have never done in their lives, and then they made it work. I mean, it wasn't phenomenal, and faculty will say it wasn't great. It wasn't in a lot of cases, but it was good. And we still, I mean, in the world, we have a great higher education system, but I mean, seriously, I think the faculty just saved it. On the same token, I'll say number two, faculty, take a moment and just, I mean, high five yourself, go for a little walk, do something, sit down and reflect a little bit. But you did just save higher education. But you know, you care so much about your students that you did everything you could to help make an experience for your students. So take a moment, just take a moment and kind of think about what you did and take a deep breath before we move on. Because it's too easy just to say, okay, that's done. Now we got to get to the next thing.
Todd, I would add a number three to your list. And that would be for those people who really love to teach in a classroom. And I'm one of those. I enjoy teaching online, but I love to be in a classroom with students. There's probably also a lesson to be learned from, can I extend my connections with my students to more than those 3 hours a week that we're in a classroom? Mm-hmm. Can't I get them thinking about my course and this topic and that I love and the discipline that I love throughout the week by building online components that enhance what I'm doing in the classroom?
Yeah, I think we just changed education. People talk about getting back to normal. First, they talked about getting back to normal. Remember, that was like last June. When are we going to get back to normal? Then they stopped talking about getting back to normal. And actually, there was a brief time they started to say, I wonder if we can get back to normal. And then after we did that for about a month or two, then we started to say, there is no way we're going back to what we did. We're going to have to be a new normal. And I'm doing actually a plenary coming up pretty soon. And I want to use the title creating a new normal to be more proactive. But it's what you just said, Brad, we're going to change higher education, because some of those people who would never have ever done an online course before will now have online meetings with their students. I can set up with 20 students. I can set up 10-minute meetings right from my desktop and meet them all within a couple of hours. I wouldn't have thought of that before. So I think we're going to create community like we've never created it before. And I want to be careful. I just want to jump back to and say, I just said administrators and faculty in terms of saving higher education. We really shouldn't forget the students, because the students also engaged in a whole world that they didn't bargain for. They didn't sign up to be in online classes, and yet they did it as well too. But I think there's a new normal coming.
Thank you for joining us for part one. We're going to be back next week with part two, Todd Zakrajsek and Kevin Kelly. Join us next week. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are three things we ask you to do. One, come back and join us again. Two, tell your friends about us. And three, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
It's a digital world.
Always keep learning.